Dr. Adam Long joins us here from Arkansas State University. Dr. Long, thank you for your time. I really appreciate your help.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
If you don't mind, can you please give us your position with Arkansas State?
I'm the director of the Hemingway Pfeiffer Museum in Piggott, Arkansas, which is one of the Arkansas State University's heritage sites.
Now, for people who may not be familiar with this particular heritage site, can you please tell us about the site?
Sure. We are the restored home of the Pfeiffer family of Piggott, whose oldest daughter, Pauline, married the writer Ernest Hemingway. And Ernest was a regular guest there in Piggott in the 20s and 30s. And the family converted the barn behind the house into a studio for him. And he would write there when he was in Piggott. He wrote several short stories there and also parts of A Farewell to Arms.
Fantastic. And so I know that this heritage site that you have there in Piggott draws a lot of people through that area.
It does, yes. We get visitors from all over the country, and I believe we had about 23 countries last year outside of the U.S. that came to visit us.
Tell us about his impact. I know we're going to talk about the Cuba trip here in just
sure.
a second, but tell us about his impact, not just on literature by way of America and even around the world, but specifically the impact on Arkansas, if you don't mind, please.
Sure. Well, I think that he's mostly known for influencing writers in terms of style, I think, but also as someone who was famous as a writer during his lifetime, which isn't really very common. A lot of the writers that we teach in literature classes aren't famous until after they die, maybe many years later. But Ernest was well known in his time, and so because of that, he brought people into Piggott. He brought through his connections that films were filmed in Piggott, including A Face in the Crowd, which was Andy Griffith's first movie. We actually recently recreated a duck hunt that he and his editor, Maxwell Perkins, went on in 1932 down in the South Delta here in Arkansas. And Maxwell Perkins is usually regarded as America's finest editor. He was both Hemingway's and F. Scott Fitzgerald and Thomas Wolfe and other editor. And so I think that one thing he did was bring attention to writing as a public figure during his lifetime, besides just through his writing.
Right. And so there's obviously a lot of history there in Piggott in northeast Arkansas, and he helped kind of bring a lot of that out, I guess, by way of the exposure that Piggott has is because of those writings and because of things that he did when he was alive.
Yes, sure. His reputation continues, and I think he continues to bring writers and people interested in literary history or just American history to visit us here in Arkansas.
Let's talk about the trip that y'all are going to be taking here in just a few months to Cuba. Tell us about this trip and how it kind of ties in with Ernest Hemingway, if you don't mind, please.
Sure. So we will be visiting Cuba and specifically sites associated with Ernest's novel Islands in the Stream. It's a trip, a very unique trip. We're going places that a lot of tours to Cuba don't get to go, because we're going to the North Central Keys, where the novel is set. The novel is set in World War II, and the main character is the captain of a patrol boat that is patrolling for Nazi activity in the Caribbean and there in the northern keys of Cuba. So we'll be going to places associated with that, and then also spending a couple days in Havana and seeing Ernest's home there. Ernest lived in Havana longer than anywhere else, and it's the place he chose to make his home the longest. And then we'll also be visiting the village associated with the novella The Old Man and the Sea, for which he won the Pulitzer and shortly thereafter the Nobel Prize.
What was it about Cuba that he was so fascinated about that he wanted to live there? He did some writing there. What was it about Cuba?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. He very much liked fishing and had a boat and was drawn to the Caribbean from the first time he visited Key West was really where that started. So I think the pristine beaches and Gulf Stream fishing and all of that was certainly a draw to him. He was also from his early 20s drawn to Spain, where he helped make the bullfights at Pamplona famous. And he visited Spain regularly during that period of his life, but after the Spanish Civil War, he was unable to go back as frequently. And so I think that he saw Cuba as somewhat of an extension of Spanish culture as well, and so felt at home there for that reason.
So I know y'all are excited to go to these areas and that, and tell us a little bit about some details on the trip itself and when it's going to be, and I understand y'all still have a couple of openings for that trip.
Yes, we do. We still have a few openings. We are going from May the 12th to the 19th. Of this year, and will be the trip will be split between the Northern Keys and between Havana. It's 8 days, 7 nights. We will be meeting there in Cuba. One thing that's really nice for this trip, for those who've maybe looked into traveling before or have been before, is since the last time the museum took a trip, the commercial airlines are now allowed to land in Cuba, so we no longer have to go through the hassle and expense of chartering a flight in Miami and doing all that. Now we can fly into the airport just like we would anywhere else in the Caribbean or in Europe or whatever and meet down there. So we're looking forward to that, to the renewed interest with the changing travel regulations and the increased ease with which you can get to Cuba these days.
Right. And things continue to change in relation to that, because I know that one of the things that we talk about when we think about Cuba is agriculture.
Sure.
And, of course, opening up markets and that, which, you know, that's a huge part of that as well, by way of what it means. Another tie-in, Arkansas agriculture, which was something tying back again as well, that Hemingway did talk about some.
Yes, he did. In fact, it's agriculture that got us involved in the trips to start with. We took our first trip in 2013 down and visited mostly Havana-related sites and sites connected to the Old Man and the Sea. But we learned about the opportunity through the then Piggott mayor, Gerald Morris, who had looked into a trip for Arkansas mayors going down there looking at agriculture, which had been several years before, and he came and highly recommended that we, you know, look at a Hemingway trip down there, and we did, and I think we drew some people who had been interested in the agricultural side and the possible relations with Cuba as well.
So for people who've never been, what could they expect by way of this particular trip if they decide to go to Cuba?
I think if you haven't been to Cuba, you'd be very impressed with how much infrastructure exists for tourists. The first time I went, I was expecting, because of the embargo, to have trouble finding accommodations and getting around as a tourist and that sort of thing, and it couldn't have been further from the truth. Cuba has remained the major Caribbean destination for Canada, and so because of that, they have these same sorts of accommodations you would expect elsewhere in the Caribbean, but just on a larger scale. Havana's a bigger city than you find in elsewhere in the Caribbean as a rule, and then, you know, the beaches are more pristine, and the sites are older, right? They're older cities and that sort of thing. Yeah.
So tell us about, if people want to go on the trip, There's a little bit of time, but not a whole lot of time.
There's not a whole lot of time. We are our cutoff deadline is March the 1st to sign up. And they can sign up by contacting the museum, which is can reach us by phone at 870-598-3487 or on the web at hemingway.astate.edu.
And so by way of if they want to look at information, is there information available where people can, you know, if they want to go ahead and look at some things can they do that?
Yes. So if you go to the webpage, just under the main sort of picture bar, there's a link that says click here to join us in Cuba. And if you click over there, you'll be taken to a site that has it broken down day by day, exactly what we'll be seeing, where we'll be eating, all the details of cost and what's included, all of those sorts of things. And if anybody would like a printed copy of that mailed to them, they can call the museum and we can do that as well.
Very cool. Adam Long joins us here on KASU. Dr. Long, we really appreciate you joining us. Before I let you run, about, is there anything else you'd like to add more about this Cuba trip that maybe we didn't cover?
No, I think we've covered most of it. I would say that if you look at the trip details online, you'll be able to get a lot more details with the specifics of everything, and we'd be happy to take questions from anyone if they'd like to call in with them with more details.